Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
It's our Ideas Matter, checking in with the Public Humanities segment as we have each Friday. It's our chance to check in with the Humanities Councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. Nobody's Girl is the Academy of Music Theater's first commissioned play, a screwball comedy by Pioneer Valley playwright Harley Erdman, based on real events that occurred at the Academy of Music and Northampton, Massachusetts, in the early 1940s. The story is inspired by the life of Mildred Walker, the first woman to be appointed manager at the Academy of Music, whose promotion spawned outrage from the theater's lessees and resulted in a front-page court case. Harley Erdman is professor of theater at UMass Amherst and the playwright of Nobody's Girl, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Harley Erdman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much being with us.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. So what brought you to this particular topic?
Well, it was really sort of an amazing story. A former student of mine, was working as a house manager at the Academy of Music a couple of years ago. And she was moving around her desk. She was actually moving out of her office, and she had this old desk that I guess dates back to the early 40s. They had very old furniture in the Academy of Music. And as she was moving it around, she discovered this old box that was marked letters, and it looked like it hadn't been opened in 50 or 60 years. And so she and Deborah J. Anthony, who's the executive director of the Academy, they opened the box, and they found this treasure trove of memos and affidavits, telegrams, letters, all these different documents from late 30s and early 40s that basically sketched the outlines of the story of Mildred Walker. And it had been a story that really was totally invisible, forgotten, unknown, was not in the public consciousness. And Deborah got excited about it. She read the materials. It seemed like there was potentially a play of some sort in there. There was a story in there, maybe even a screwball comedy, which is a film genre that's of the time as well. She contacted me. She showed me the documents, and I got really excited as well. It really piqued my curiosity and made me want to know more, and ultimately made me want to use my imagination to sort of figure out exactly what all the circumstances were behind the documents.
How hard was it for you to find out those circumstances?
Well, it's it's actually was quite hard in some ways. The documents don't tell the whole story. They're like little islands that emerge above the waterline. There's a lot that's hidden. There's a lot that's forgotten. Mildred Walker herself, she was manager for a couple of years in the early 40s, but she ended up having no children. She had no siblings. She passed away in 1979, quite a long time ago. And it was very hard finding anyone who actually had any memory of her personally. I just managed to find a handful of people. So there's a lot of mystery and a lot of uncertainty behind the documents, but there is a basic story there, and I was able to piece together a few things and use my imagination to imagine some other things, and the play that we're doing, the comedy that we're doing, is a way of telling that story, and it weaves together screwball comedy elements with documentary theater. There actually are quotations directly from the documents that are woven into the storyline in unusual fashion.
I was going to say, because there are elements of this that don't seem they would lend themselves to a screwball comedy.
No, it's a pretty serious story in some ways. It's about a woman who, there was a manager of the Academy who was called to military service, and she was his cashier for many years, and she was promoted to manager. And basically, the men running the theater tried to oust her primarily because she was a woman, and she fought back. I think comedy is very serious. There's seriousness in comedy, and I like the juxtaposition of dealing with a serious subject matter in a somewhat comic way. And there's also a lot of aggression in comedy. There's different theories of comedy that say comedy is actually about aggression, humor is about aggression. And there's a lot of aggression in this story. There's aggression in terms of how the way the board and the men treated Mildred, and there's aggression in the way that she fought back. So that kind of high style and fast talk and aggressive verbal style and banter of screwball comedy really works well for this material. At the end of the day, it's not so much a comedy as it is a play. I wrote a play that may or may not make people laugh. That's not really the point. I think it's entertaining, but it's really a serious exploration of the story using a certain style.
So let us talk about that serious exploration, because obviously, if you're going to get money from the Mass Humanities, that they feel there is need here to of the story that you're telling, which is a fascinating story.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating story, and it's, I think, very, you know, I'm not a social historian, I'm a writer, I'm a playwright, but it has clear implications for history and social history. I know that around this time, early 40s, as men were being called off to military service in the U.S., there was an opening, there was an opportunity for women to take certain jobs, and that's exactly what happened to Mildred. She was given this opportunity to manage this theater. But managing a movie theater at the time was also a relatively prestigious, high-profile position, and it was something that was associated almost entirely with men. There had never been a male, female manager of this movie theater before, and there were almost none that I know of in Massachusetts. So she was pioneering. She was breaking new ground. She was really out there on her own doing something that hadn't been done before. And she hit up against this, really a glass ceiling. They didn't want her doing it because she was a woman. And eventually, you know, I don't want to give away everything in the play, but eventually the men running the theater had their way, and she was ousted and had to, never ended up running a movie theater again. She did other kinds of work in the rest of her life. But, you know, as the war ended, opportunities closed for women, and we ended up moving in a much more conservative direction in the late 40s and 50s in terms of gender roles. So the play, I think, reflects or speaks to this moment in society in the early 40s when there was more opportunity for women, but it was a very brief window, and it closed very quickly. And that's the, I think that historical circumstance speaks a lot to Mildred's story.
What would you think about, I guess I'm interested in the connection made to local history, because obviously this is her story. So how much of this do you think is a Pioneer Valley story, or could this have been a story about a similar woman at any place?
I think it's not it has local interest, and it's being performed at the Academy of Music, so there's something about the site itself that's very specific to the meaning of the piece. But I think it's a national story. I think it's a story that has meaning well beyond the Pioneer Valley. I don't think it's a Pioneer Valley story in any specific way. I imagine that there were parallel things going on in other kinds of industries at the time. And the issue of the glass ceiling for women and pay equity and opportunity equity, equal opportunity, these are very much with us. This is still what we're fighting for 70 years later. So the story is relevant and very current. And honestly, the play, it's all the references are specific to Northampton, but there's actually no mention of actual Northampton. The word Northampton is never mentioned anywhere in the script. And when I wrote the script, I thought it should have and could have a life. I hope it will have a life beyond this premiere in Northampton. I think it's clearly conceived that way. That's my hope, at least. Others will have to judge.
And what does it say about the Academy of Music and its and how it's able to survive and stay around and relevant?
Yeah, what's amazing about the story, really interesting, is that Mildred was the one with the, and the play deals with this a bit, but she was the one who, after she was ousted, came back with a proposal to the board that the Academy Board of Trustees actually take over direct management of the theater like they had way back in the late 19th century when it was founded. What had happened was they had ended up leasing it out to these movie operators, and she said, you need to take over direct management and direct control and have it be a real civic theater in a way that's really groundbreaking and unusual and extraordinary. And they accepted her proposal, but they didn't accept her to be the manager of it. They appointed a man. And so her model that she proposed is basically the same model that the Academy of Music is still running under, and now it's thriving. And ironically now, it took until I think 2006 before another woman was appointed manager. So a long time elapsed before we have a woman running the Academy again. And of course, Deborah J. Anthony is the current executive director. But it was Mildred's idea, a woman's idea to forge this new model, or to go back to the original model that was groundbreaking, that I think has part of what makes the Academy such a unique and successful place.
What are the challenges in writing a comedy, and then specifically screwball comedy?
Well, language is always something I work with. You know, I'm a translator, too, and as a playwright, your basic building blocks are the words that characters speak more than anything else. And so I had to really immerse myself in the language of the period, discourse of the period. I just immersed myself in newspapers. I watched a lot of old screwball comedies. I picked up the Girl Scouts handbook, which figures from the early 40s, and that figures in the play as well. I made lists of words and terms and expressions, and then ultimately I had to create my own kind of language for the play. I mean, it's a language that has like the veneer of the early 40s, and once I'm able to solve the language problems, I'm able to sort of start. You know, that's sort of the first thing that I always try to tackle. There's other challenges, is trying to actually make choices about what Mildred actually did. because she was accused of some things, you know, including double selling tickets and fraud and things like that. And the play has to grapple with what did she actually do, and if she did anything, why did she do it, what were the circumstances. So there's a kind of dramaturgical challenges that were really hard and provoked a lot of discussion among myself and some of the other people who were working on the project with me.
So. Does she come out of it pretty? How do you think? What would she think if she was?
Well, I think she's a hero. I mean, a hero, someone who, a common person, a forgotten person, but someone who was heroic in the way that she acted. But heroes are complicated, and I try not to draw simplistic characters. She might be a tragic hero in some ways, but she's a hero as, like, moral complexity. And I'm intrigued by strong women. I'm intrigued by strong characters, and I'm intrigued by the fact that we, as audiences, can enjoy and appreciate characters who operate in morally complex and ambiguous ways. You know, Mildred was no saint, at least in the way I portray her, but she still could be heroic even though she wasn't a saint. And I think that's much more interesting for a play.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, and it's Nobody's Girl is at the Academy of Music. It's going to take place October 17th at 8 o'clock at the Academy of Music Theater in Northampton, Massachusetts. You can find out more by going to academyofmusictheater.com, academyofmusictheater.com. Harley Erdman is professor of theater at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst and the playwright of Nobody's Girl. Harley, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck.
Thank you, Joe. Really appreciate it. You have a great show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.